Week number 8. That's right. The Fantastic Fantasy Preview. Back with you here. Season 2, episode 54. Dan Claskins alongside James Adams and getting you ready for everything you need this week. Looking at last week, hitting that waiver wire. We've got plenty of to do. So let's jump right into it. And of course, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We always appreciate our new listeners, our loyal listeners too. You can keep up with us. Subscribe wherever you listen, including Apple, Google, Spotify, to name a few. And of course, follow us on Twitter. He's at JamesAdams94. I'm at Dan Claskins. We are at Fantistics. And James, man, week number 8, the official start of the second half of the fantasy season here in many cases now. And we still scratching our heads over many of the teams in this league. A lot of injuries to monitor. We've made our way through 6 buys, just 2 buys this week. We'll talk about that in a little bit here, man. But I will say it's definitely in terms of my fantasy teams that I'm playing in, it's clear which ones I should be paying more attention to at this point, because some are starting to take off and some, my friend, are fading away.
Yeah, I had a couple fade away on Monday night. I literally had 3 teams that lost by less than 2 points. Mm. The Bears or Patriots defense.
3 teams by less than 2 points. That's pretty hard to do, dude.
And I've had a pretty good year, so I'm not even really going to cry about it. But it all revolved around Patriots, Bears. In fact, I went against a friend who had a 0.02 lead against me. Ooh, going into
that scoring change material. That scoring change material there.
It ain't happening because he extended his lead. But I had the Patriots D. He had the Bears. I thought for sure I was going to have the edge there. Not to be. But that's okay, Dan, because I also had plenty of successes as well. I'm with you. I've got a couple good ones. And boy, this week was indicative of just this whole year with the Bucs losing to a third string quarterback and the Patriots losing that home game. Again, this week in Survivor Pool, over half of the remaining teams were knocked out of now my mother's Survivor League. Not her, though, brother.
Way to keep her alive. Way to keep her rolling. Mama Adams needs to take. Yeah, good thing. Good thing.
It is a good thing.
I'll tell you right now, sometimes the more you know, it's becoming like the NCAA bracket trying to pick football games these days. But I will say that, I mean, it's hard to find any of my teams. Now we have 9. I don't have as many as you season long. But, I mean, almost every one of them's had some sort of injury at this point hit. And, you know, that is the name of the game. That's why we're going to hit the waiver wire. We're just going to keep grinding. And here's the thing, James. You can't get a pity party over yourself. You just got to start hitting. You never, especially in a year like this, you never know what wacky stuff's going to happen. And do yourself, look around, man. There's a lot of teams. It's hard to find a team in my fantasy leagues. Maybe every league's got 1 or 2 in it at best that don't have some sort of issue or weakness or something they're trying to overcome. So you're not in it alone. That's why you're listening here. Hopefully we can give you some good recommendations and help you move forward there. And James, before we get too deep into looking at these injuries and hitting that waiver wire, I'll tell you what, man, anymore, the NFL is becoming like the MLB trade deadline. And we've seen in over the years, increased moves made in here. Literally, just in the last week, we've seen Robbie Anderson dealt. We saw Christian McCaffrey get traded. Now the latest thing, James Robinson getting dealt. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit more about this Breece Hall injury and the rest of the injuries in a bit. But James Robinson is now a Jet. Breece Hall lost for the season. Lots of ripple effects of this, James. Let's start with Robinson as a Jet. What it means for him, what we expect out of Michael Carter.
I mean, it's got to be at least a lateral move, if not a move up, considering that ETN had really just taken that role in Jacksonville and run away with it. So for Robinson, I think at the very least, it's a lateral move. It's likely a move up because the player he was the first couple of weeks when we were like, oh, my Lord, he's recovered from this Achilles injury with no problem. He was losing that job to ETN, and there was no two ways about it. So for him, I think it's a slight move up on a team that has started out, I think, better than anyone could have imagined, at least better than I would have imagined, given the fact that Wilson wasn't even there for the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely interesting. Michael Carter, I've always been a fan. I mean, the reason they drafted Breece Hall to begin with, they didn't really look at him as a 3-down back here. So I think his value slightly improved in this situation, but a role that's similar there. I'll tell you this, James. For the Jets' perspective, not that the Breece Hall injury was not devastating, and I don't even have him in a single season long myself. I got some best ball teams with him and stuff like that. But, dude, I just hate to see young stud players go down. It's not good for the game. And the Jets, to be frank, this was a team that I was starting to, like, get interested in, follow, root for. They've been covering the spread. They got a good young team with some swag. And I just hate to see it, man. I hate to see, especially ACL, these long-term injuries. But it's part of the game, right? And just like I hated to see Javonte Williams. Now, that one was a little bit more of a big hit for me in fantasy than this one. But either way, devastating for the sport nonetheless. And the bigger thing for me, though, in all of this, and as I'm looking at these backfields moving forward, is the Jets also have now lost two left tackles, one for the season, another placed on IR. I mean, you look at the depth chart, James. We see some familiar names of Bengal washoffs there. This offensive line has suddenly become a problematic thing, and I think that's why I'm tempering my expectations with both of these running backs, to be frank.
Yeah, I think in the end, for me, they're kind of their top out value is flex RB3 for the balance between each other. And as you pointed out, this team's starting to really be affected by injuries elsewhere, including, like you said, the big they were getting by without I think Becton, the left tackle they lost.
Yeah, early, they adjusted after the Becton, but they've lost two tackles since then, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's a bummer. On the other side of it, I mean, ETN was already ascending. I think this puts him in, especially in PPR formats, in back-end RB1 range, James. And
has to.
I don't know. You would think, I still would expect something else to emerge there as somebody to take some touches in that backfield. It remains to be seen which of the backs on the depth chart will be that guy in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, too, they've kind of descended, if you will, this Jacksonville offense and not been great. Lawrence has run the ball a little bit. Now, I don't think he'll be the complement to ETN, but I don't know that there's going to be anything that comes to fruition other than, you know, the deepest of leagues where you're just desperate for a player to maybe get you a point or two.
Yeah. I will say that it was a smart, I can support the move here by both teams. And in specific case of the Jets, it's nice to see this Jets franchise be proactive here, right? They feel like they got a shot to be a playoff team. They took a big blow here, and you can't replace Breece Hall. I mean, goodness, wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy? But they've made a move, James. And just even talking to some of my buddies that are actually longtime Jets fans, they're pretty pumped about it because this team wants to win, and they're showing signs of that.
Even if it isn't a move to push them forward for this season to a Super Bowl, or even if it doesn't push them into the playoffs, but it keeps them in consideration, keeps them in the hunt, this is a move saying, hey, we're more about building culture than this sixth or maybe fifth round draft pick, whatever it'll be. The value of building culture with the foundation of players we have here is more important, and I certainly approve of that too.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how the Jets backfield unfolds. If you had Carter, you had Robinson, I think, as you said, James, these moves, that we're discussing here, it didn't really hurt their value. If anything, it was sort of staying put, maybe even a slight increase. ETN, the real winner there. Mm-hmm. The trading deadline is approaching quickly here, next Tuesday, I believe. And with that in mind, you know, we have to be on the lookout for more guys to go. We know one, Cam Akers, is a player that, you know, reportedly the team is actively looking to shop. We've heard some other receivers in the mix. Chase Claypool is a name that keeps popping up from the Steelers. Situations to monitor there. Are there any other players you wouldn't be surprised to maybe see get dealt in these next few days?
I keep seeing Kareem Hunt's name out there too, whether it's Buffalo or I think I even saw Philadelphia, which I guess he would be an upgrade to the other two besides Miles Sanders. And then, I mean, this is that time of year, not only where you're looking to see trades, but, you know, these players like an Odell Beckham, who wouldn't be a trade piece. And I don't know if he'll ever be good enough to start this year. But if you're talking about just filling a roster spot that's empty, not only looking at trades, but looking at maybe one of those players like him that's still out there.
Let's look at some other injuries, things of note coming out of Sunday's action as we sit here on Tuesday night on the cusp, of hitting that waiver wire, which we'll get to in a minute. The other big injury at running back this week, well, I don't know if it's nearly as big as Breece Hall. That's not even fair to put it in the same thing, but a high ankle sprain for Mike Boone, and he's now placed on injured reserve. Does unmuddy the water here a little bit in this Broncos backfield. Now Melvin Gordon and Latavius Murray just a two-man committee instead of this added factor. They did bring your guy Marlon Mack into the mix, though, James. So we've got that. We've got a London game on tap. We don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson. He missed last week's game, uncertain for Sunday. And James, it will be the Jags and Broncos on Sunday, but hopefully you have ESPN Plus because that's the only way you'll be able to watch it.
I do have that.
I have it as well. So, I mean, I'll be watching it, but there's going to be a lot of people who are like, how do I watch a game? What happened to it? And yeah.
I have it because I watch Disney stuff, the Star Wars stuff on Disney. Yeah,
we get it through Hulu Disney Pack as well. So, but I do like watching some college sports on ESPN Plus, obviously the good documentaries, soccer. But we're not plugging ESPN Plus here. That's not the purpose.
That's correct.
The purpose is your take on this Broncos team as a whole here. Mike Boone, probably cuttable in most season-long leagues, unless you got just an extra IR spot or something. But Melvin Gordon, Latavius Murray, I mean, I just can't really put the rubber stamp on either of them right now. I know Murray had a decent stat line with the touchdown last week, but are these guys that you could endorse as week 8 starting options?
Absolutely not. You can't start them in week 8. They're on bye in week 9. So even if they're on your waiver wire, I mean, unless you're desperate to start them this week, I wouldn't even be considering picking them up because you're not going to use them for 2 weeks now. How much of that fab are you willing to waste for
a player? It depends. I mean, there are certain cases. I mean, these guys are going to be rostered in a lot of leagues, and they should be. It just depends on your team makeup, how large the league, obviously. But I hear your point. Like, you're not going to get much use out of the next few weeks. Factor that into your decision.
Yes, that's exactly right.
At receiver, a lot bigger news to talk about. We probably should have led with it, and it's Buzzkill City. Let's start with Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams, a sprained ankle. Not looking good there. They're talking about this being weeks, not days, high ankle sprain. Good news for L.A., Keenan Allen getting back to health. Josh Palmer, hopefully out of concussion protocol. Obviously, DeAndre Carter and Gerald Everett, some complimentary pieces. So hopefully they can get through it, James. But again, with you're talking about a bye this week for the Chargers, it's looking like he's already going to miss at least a couple weeks after that. This is not looking good. And more importantly, I mean, this isn't looking great for this Chargers team. As you know, my Super Bowl pick here, a team I was sky high on. I got Herbert props galore. And it's just not coming to fruition. The injuries are piling up on both sides of the ball. The offensive line is just a mess. It's not looking like this is the year for LA. And at this point, I'd bet on them to miss the playoffs rather than to make it if I were making a bet today.
After the Broncos chatter, man, the AFC West, we just couldn't wait to watch these games this year. But it's funny how things can change. And Mike Williams, a guy who when he plays, has a knack for making big games, but has a knack for showing up little and then times not showing up at all. And it appears it's going to be the third of those options here coming up. I mean, again, I think we talked about Gerald Everett as a player you could lean on if you were looking for tight end, which we'll get to that later. I mean, he's probably a player who stays firmly in the mix of, you know, streaming / back end tight end one players because of this. And it not like we saw a lot out of Keenan Allen. You're absolutely right. This offense just isn't the high flying 5,000 yards from a year ago, Justin Herbert, offense we expected.
Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he left Sunday's game without even tallying much of anything with concussion. He's in this concussion protocol. And James, as we discussed in our recent episodes of both our podcast and our SiriusXM shows, concussion's now a multi-week issue in this new protocol.
Yeah, I mean, you would like the matchup, you think, against the Dolphins, although they've been hit or miss a little bit more. I would say this. I mean, if you have St. Brown, if you were able to weather the storm of there is bye week, the Lions bye week, and still have Reynolds, it's probably a player you should be considering handcuffing. But unfortunately, Dan, as your idea you've proposed before, where if one player goes down, you get to submit the other one. That's not the case unless you're in a best ball.
Yeah. That is definitely true to that. Let's talk about Seattle, DK Metcalf. He was carted off the field, and at first it looked really grim, James. It's looking better now. We still don't really have clarity on this. And, I mean, right now Pete Carroll's slapping his gums like there's a chance he's going to play in week 8. I'm not holding my breath, but Metcalf, if he is out, I mean, this passing game does take a hit. Geno Smith's been playing at a high level. Marquise Goodwin, a name I'm sure we'll get to, and others on the waiver wire, but I mean, this is a big blow for an offense that's been soaring.
Maybe it's not Goodwin because he's a different receiver than Metcalf. Maybe when we get to it, it's a tight end that's going to replace that, whether it's Disley or Fant or both of them being, I don't know if you could say both being usable options, but heck, maybe both of them do become usable options if DK Metcalf misses time. Of course, that's going to be a 4 o'clock game. So if we don't have clarity at the end of the week, who knows? I hope we get something more clear.
Definitely on that. We will watch all these injury reports and definitely keep you up. Just a few others to keep your eyes on before we move on to the waiver wire. We got Packers wide receiver Alan Lazard. He's obviously got a shoulder injury, so this is a big deal. The Packers are already struggling. He's probably their top option. They have a Sunday night tilt. We'll break down in a bit with the Bills. Nico Collins, he left Sunday's game for the Texans with a groin injury. And we also saw the Jets lose Corey Davis. We didn't talk about that when we were talking about all those Jets injuries, but they don't believe the injury is as serious as it was originally indicated, so some optimism in that regard. And at tight end, David Njoku, a guy that has really been doing pretty well, ascending in his own right. James, I know you weren't as high on him coming in as I was, but you know, I have him in some best balls, so this is disappointing news to me, but looks like he's going to be out anywhere from 2 to 5 weeks with this issue. Luckily, it won't require surgery. So some good things there. Harrison Bryant, we'll talk about him but in a minute, but that could be a name in deep, deep leagues to look at. So speaking of that, James, let's go right to it, my friend. Let's hit that waiver wire. I think it's that time of the year. We've got the fab budgets being blown. In some cases, James, in leagues where I could still make moves after fab runs, I've exhausted my budget. I've went all in. I spent my last $17 in our Superflex Do Good Fantasy Listener League because I had as my QB2 Carson Wentz, and somebody cut Kenny Pickett, and I got him for the last $17 I had.
I have considerably more money left in my division, and I'm considering using it all for a quarterback that I couldn't even fathom having said this to you when the season was beginning.
Yeah, so
I'm going Colts. I think I'm going Colts quarterback there. I might be insane. I don't know. I'm not spending it all.
Well, you are insane, but that's a whole different conversation. Let's hit this waiver wire, James. Lots of things to discuss. And in shallower leagues, you definitely see a plethora of new running backs. So between the likes of Gus Edwards, our new Carolina backfield of Dante Foreman and Chuba Hubbard, obviously I know in the short term, Herbert with a little bit with an ankle issue we didn't hit on the injury report. Those three guys are available in a lot of leagues out there this week. How you prioritize them in each case, how much remaining fab budget are you willing to put out if you're in need of a running back?
If you need a running back to fill in on a weekly basis and Gus Edwards is out there, I'm ready to spend a large portion of what I have left. You know your league, so you know if you need to reserve a few dollars or if you can spend it all, like Dan said. I'm ready to spend just about everything on Gus Edwards. I apologize to anyone who I said Kenyon Drake was a play last week. That is my mistake, and I had given up. Then I went back for 1 week like a fool. I know better than that.
I gave up on Drake a long time ago, but luckily
it's Gus Edwards, man.
Luckily, I did stash Edwards in a couple spots, and I wish they were in some spots where I had bigger need than the spots I grabbed him in.
It always works that way.
But at the end of the day, I absolutely agree. He is the number one waiver wire priority, in my opinion, this week. And to James's point, it's all going to be based on need, remaining budget, and league. But it could be one of those blow out the budget type of players. Because let's face it, every week that goes by, those fab dollars become less valuable. Mm-hmm. Outside of him, I mean, we talked about Michael Carter. I think Carter would probably be not available in anything outside maybe 10-team leagues. But Foreman and Hubbard, I think I would say Foreman's obviously the short-term guy and the better fit, but I will say before the injury, Hubbard was involved more than I was anticipating. And if you're in a PPR setup, I think in the long term, he still might be the better play if he returns to health, and this is more of a backfield by committee. Isaiah Pacheco, we know he was named the starter, probably out there available in some leagues. That situation to me, James, isn't as clear as these other players. I think Pacheco, despite the high ceiling we've all seen since the preseason with what's left in that backfield, the way that offense spreads out, he is the definitive last name on this list for me.
I would agree, because when are you going to play him? You can't trust him. So on top of the fact that he'd be on bye this week, but I'm with you there. And boy, I was wrong about those Carolina running backs in that entire game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, it's the season of being wrong about things. Don't beat yourself up, bro. It's just about getting more right than you did wrong, not necessarily I'm all right. I will say, another name to throw into the mix, and again, not liking as better these other options, but we talked about Latavius Murray before, and I think now with Boone gone, Gordon still struggling, I mean, certainly worth a spot if you're really desperate at running back, and at least you have another option to consider each week as you work your way through it. Let's talk other positions. Let's talk quarterback. What's striking your fancy there? You've already made a mention in your super flex league where there's next to nothing available making a run at the Colts quarterback. But what about one quarterback setups where there's a lot of names available? And one that's available in more leagues than I realized is Daniel Jones.
Boom. He is the name. Because I liked what he offered for bye weeks moving forward for Trevor Lawrence. I'm trying to think maybe the week 14 bye. There were a couple different setups, different leagues where I said, hey, Daniel Jones is the best guy on waivers right now for my upcoming bye week. And now I'm like, heck yeah, I'm so happy I have him as these bye weeks are approaching because the cost on him went way up. So I think it's right there. It's Daniel Jones big time. And then, you know, hey, did anybody cut Kirk Cousins because he was kind of a high-end backup coming off waivers? Boy, if something like a player like him were to be on waivers and you don't have to worry about a bye week in the future, that's where I'd be looking.
Excellent. I totally agree. I think, you know, the positions there, I mean, it is a matchup thing. Anything deeper than that, it really is a week-by-week thing. Jimmy Garoppolo, I will say, James, out there in a lot of 1QB setups, I think he's a big winner with the addition of McCaffrey because, I mean, there's a lot of weapons there for him. He doesn't have to make big plays to get big stats. And I'm not saying he's going to be like QB12 or anything the rest of the way, but he's viable. He's definitely viable. And somebody...
You need a backup. I agree.
Somebody, I think... The whole Saints situation is interesting. If Winston could just get named the starter again, I do like the matchup this week in a one-week play, but I keep getting burned and time again on this Saints offense, and it's getting harder and harder to predict. But anything else at quarterback? I mean, Justin Fields, I know he looked good on Monday night. I'm guessing he's out there in some shallower setups. He's certainly a guy that's looking better as the season goes on. That rushing floor is just so nice.
I mean, Jones was really the guy. Fields, if out there,
Taylor Heineke, gotta say, that's the guy who's out there that we really haven't discussed at all. And I know Malik Willis with this Tannehill injury is being listed in some people's waiver wire. And then, of course, let's not forget about Mark Rippon's cousin, Brett, who could be the starter for a second straight week in Denver.
I mean, if we're talking one quarterback leagues, I'm not rostering a player who's not starting yet in Willis. I'm most assuredly not rostering a player who is on a team that I don't want anything to do with, period, in the Broncos or Rippon. So those two, no way. And who was – oh, Heineke? I guess, right? We talked about Heineke kind of being that gunslinger, run the football, Brett Favre, kind of just, you know – get you some good fantasy points because of his dangerous play. So maybe if you're desperate there.
Yeah. It's a garbage week at receiver. I know we mentioned Goodwin a little bit before.
If he is even the replacement, right? He's kind of, yeah, his role may not change.
Wandale Robinson, I threw him out last week, and we continue seeing a little uptick. I think he was in on 24 routes. That was second amongst Giants wideouts. I do think that's a guy that will continue to excel down the stretch. I'm not buying in on much of the other things. I mean, Josh Palmer, if he's out there now with this Williams injury, becomes pretty interesting again. Hardman had the 3 touchdowns, James, but no thanks. I mean, unless you're in a best ball league.
I think with those Chiefs receivers, if you want to roster one and hope that something comes about, but even MVS, who had a decent week, only had 3 catches, and it just seems like, yeah, Juju 2 weeks in a row has had a good week. Those lesser pieces, if you want to roster one and hope that this offense starts to click on that next hyperdrive, I don't have a problem with that because you're rostering a player whose upside is immense in that offense. And I go back to circle back to the Giants real quick, Dan. Whether it's Robinson, you know, I don't know if Tony ever sees the field again, but they lost Bellinger, the tight end, who had been a part of that passing offense as well. So whether some other tight end materializes or it's back to the old Richie James or whomever surfaces, I think if you're desperate for points at receiver, you can turn back to the Giants because they continue to lose players. And so there's players on waivers that will at least get snaps.
Tight end, you mentioned it. I know you got one you like already. You teased us with before. I threw out Harrison Bryant as a deep sleeper. I've actually got a few on the list that might be available I like more, but I'm interested to see what you put on the list.
Well, I mean, Everett isn't going to help you this week, but he's definitely a player that could help. And I mean, look, with an injury to both Breece Hall and an injury to Corey Davis, I mean, I guess Tyler Conklin, for people who had kind of given up hope, he's got to come back in the mix there.
Yeah, I could argue, though, with the tackles being down, maybe they decide to use their tight ends more as blockers.
Well, if Uzama's in the game, that's what's happening.
Dawson Knox was dropped in a lot of leagues. I'm still interested in him as a stash. I mean, Cade Otton, yeah, he had upside until the Bucs sucked. Forget about it.
It's crazy.
I like Evan Engram. He's inconsistent, but I still think he'll finish as a top 15 tight end. So those are some names I had on the list. And of course, your dude, Greg Dulcich with Denver, who despite the quarterback issue last week, James, and I was with you. I was already ahead at the way you saw it. You convinced me to stick with it. Fant over him last week, and that was a mistake. Dulcich
had what, 6 catches or something? He had a lot.
8 balls, 95 yards, and a score over the last 2 weeks since he got into action. So, I'm liking what I'm seeing. He could end up being a back end tight end one. Definitely a top 15 play as we look at the stretch run here. So, it's been pretty scary at tight end. Any streamer defenses to discuss before we move along?
I mean, I guess the most obvious streamer defense is going to be, hey, the Colts have said they're going to turn to this new guy, Ellinger. Would you dare play the Commanders? I don't know if I would, but if you're looking for a streamer, there's one for you.
I can get behind it. I mean, with the buys and stuff only being 2 teams this week, I think there's going to be lots of options out there. I'm interested perhaps in the Carolina-Atlanta game. The total's so low there, so depending on which way you see that, I think that could get interesting. And as you already said, the 40-point total on the Washington-Indianapolis game, something get excited about. In terms of like defenses that are already out there and owned, I mean, we got some great matchups ahead for Dallas and Philly, but they're not available. So it's sort of a moot point there. Not a lot of high totals. I will say, James, we'll get to this in the preview in a second, but as of this morning, when I last updated my spreadsheet here, we only had 1 game where the total has hit 50 points. And that, my friend, is definitely not a normal circumstance, not at this point of the season.
But hey, that's been the norm this year, right? Defenses start out better than offenses. Well, the offenses have never recovered. They are not catching up. I mean, I don't know if this is, we certainly can't still be calling this like the hangover effect of nobody playing in the preseason.
No, I think
I
think the defensive coordinators have just caught up a little bit here.
May well be right, man, but this has been a defensive year, and I'm not terribly upset with it. I mean, I think the football has still been entertaining, and you got to let both sides of the ball play, because there's been years where we just thought, man, it's impossible to play defense, and it's still very
just think how worse it would be without all the crappy roughing the passer calls we've been complaining about. It would be even worse, right? All right, so there's your waiver wire for the week. We'll definitely talk about it more again next week as we continue to help you hit the waivers. Right now, though, we're going to take our first look at that week ahead, week number 8, just a quick glance for you before we finish up with our prop bets of the week. And, James, let's get right into the matchup. We'll start with Thursday night's matchup. This one's in Tampa Bay. The Bucs have been struggling. The Ravens coming in here, 1.5-point road favorite. The total's at 45. Lots of injuries on both sides of the ball that we'll be obviously monitoring here. We've already talked a little bit about this Ravens backfield. Let's talk about these 2 quarterbacks, and neither of them really living up to their draft stock. Obviously, Lamar having a little bit better of a season here, but I mean, can fantasy managers that have either of these guys hope that a turnaround's anytime soon?
Well, I'm going to sit here and tell you, man, this is it. The Bucs back against the wall. This is when Tom Brady does his thing, but I've already said that 2 weeks running now, and it didn't happen. So, heck, I don't know. Maybe this really is the end of it all. I would think yes. I mean, the Ravens secondary hasn't been great, although the defense for the most part has been good this year, minus some late collapses. The Bucs defense has been terrible. So, I mean, if PJ Walker can do his thing, I'm surely sure you can return to Lamar. I don't know. I give Brady some credit, though. I mean, you know, Evans drops that easy touchdown pass on Sunday, but still, they were bad. And I just don't know, man. This is just one of those where you go, wow, I don't know.
Yeah. And then we get another London game to kick off the Sunday slate, a 9:30 a.m. Eastern kick as the Jags, a 3-point favorite over Denver. We've already talked about the Broncos, still wondering who their quarterback's going to be, what this offense will look like here. On the other side of the ball, though, James, you talked about Trevor Lawrence. He's had a roller coaster of a season. And outside of Travis Etienne, that to me makes any of these Jags sort of a risky option, even in this matchup against a Broncos D. Let's face it, still is stacked with some talent.
The Broncos D, I suppose the Jags D both in play along with Travis Etienne. I'm not certain there's another player I would recommend. I'll play Lawrence if I have to, but
not even Cortland Sutton. Are you done with him?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm done with the Broncos offense. I mean, Dulcich, if you want to go there. Yeah, there's no upside to a team that puts up less than 10 points.
Okay. There you have it. Let's move along to the 1 o'clocks and a slew of them. Carolina at Atlanta. The Falcons, a 5-point favorite. The total's at 42 in this one. Dallas, 9.5-point favorites at home to the Bears, 43.5 point total. Miami's at Detroit. The Dolphins, currently 3-point favorites. This is the 50.5 point total. So we'll get to that in a minute. Arizona at Minnesota. The Vikings, 3.5 with the total at 49 in that one. Las Vegas is at New Orleans. The Raiders, a road 2-point favorite. The Saints, 48 is the total there. New England, 1.5 point favorites at the Jets, 41.5 point total. And the Battle of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, 10.5 point favorite versus Pittsburgh, 43.5 in that one. James, let's first start with a little bit of this Detroit and Miami game, which obviously we saw the Dolphins come back. They started off pretty strong in that Sunday night matchup with Tua's return, but then they fizzled down the stretch. But man, is there anything better that can get you going than a matchup with this Lions D? How big of a game can we expect out of some of these Miami playmakers?
As long as Miami's defense allows a few points, I think you can expect a massive game. Right, I don't see any reason why Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle can't both be wide receiver ones at the end of this game.
Yeah, I mean, and on the other side of it, it was pretty disappointing this last time around. Goff didn't put up much numbers coming out of the bye. Obviously, we talked about St. Brown with the concussion. We'll see if he comes out of protocol. We still didn't see DeAndre Swift. So injuries taking a toll here with the Lions. If they can get St. Brown and Swift back, and those are big ifs right now, James, but if they're all in action again this week, is this, you know, a Lions offense that can keep pace with Miami?
Yeah, I mean, they can keep pace in the end. I wouldn't think they'll keep pace enough to win, but pace enough to keep Miami's gas pedal on the gas on the other side of the ball. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've seen them do it more so before the bye than after.
Is DeAndre Swift a guy you would try to buy or sell right now in season long?
Buy, because his selling point's going to be low given the fact that he hasn't played in a month. So, right, if you want to sell somebody a commodity, it's got to be a commodity that has value, and right now it has zero.
Let's talk about Vegas and the Saints, another game here that has some fantasy fun behind it, I think. Las Vegas did shake out of it a little bit, but dude, I mean, probably the most untalked about MVP candidate, at least from a fantasy MVP perspective right now, might be Josh Jacobs, dude. They didn't pick up his contract, but man, they might be wishing they did.
You know what? One of the awesomest things, that's not a real word, doesn't matter, about going anchor RB, having a lot of Josh Jacobs and Kenny Walker on your teams as RB2 right now. Yeah,
Jacobs. Well, if you hit with those guys, there's a lot of guys that went other directions in similar runs. I mean, and that's the key to any draft strategy, James, is hitting the right guys in the zone.
No, right. No doubt about that. Is it the right guys? No question. Yeah, Josh Jacobs. I mean, another 3-touchdown performance. This guy is carrying fantasy teams. I mean, what more do you want? His bye's behind him as well. So I don't know if you could buy him low right now where he's at, but his bye's behind him too. So his stock's as high as it could be for fantasy.
Let's talk about the 4 o'clocks, four of them there in the late afternoon Sunday slate, kicking off with Houston hosting Tennessee. The old Houston franchise. I always love when these two teams tangle. 1.5 point favorite are the Titans. The total at 40.5. Washington at Indianapolis, another one there with a low total sitting right at 40 as we speak. The Colts, a 3-point favorite at home to the Commanders. And then the other two games at 4:25 Eastern. Probably the two better games, obviously, the two better games. We got the Rams and the Niners, the NFC West foes tangling again in LA. You better figure the Niners are going to have just as many fans there, though. 1.5 point favorites they are on the road, and 43 is the total. And the Giants at the Seahawks right now is a 45 point total, and the Seahawks a 3-point spread there. And let's talk a little bit about this San Fran LA matchup. I mean, the Rams have looked atrocious coming out of here, broken in so many ways, James. They've had a bye week. to sort through it. Are you optimistic that the offense is going to come out of the bye looking a little sharper with the extra week?
No, I'm not. But the Niners were a lot worse on defense, if you will, against the Chiefs than I expected. But I expect the Rams to come out and be better this second half of the season, but not necessarily this game. The 49ers have a good history against them, so that's not great for the Rams. And the Rams, I mean, for all you can say about, oh, they've got a smart coaching staff, you still got to get the players to make the thing work. You still got to have Stafford healthy, and I'm not sure he is 100% that. And the offensive line, just not as good as it was. No run game to really anchor them either. So not this week, no. I expect more things from the Rams in the future, but not necessarily here.
Fair enough. Let's look at the primetime affairs. We'll start with the Sunday night matchup, where the Bills are a 10-point favorite and with a 47.5-point total as they welcome Aaron Rodgers and this struggling Packers offense. And James, talking about games that just didn't go the way we expected. I mean, Green Bay losing the way they did to the Commanders last week. Now they got to take on a Buffalo team coming out of a bye. I mean, this could be the biggest butt whooping we've seen the Packers get in a long time.
I'm terrified that this is going to be that trap game for Survivor, because I imagine it's the pick right now, and I just don't know. I mean, everything you say seems absolutely right. If I'm not mistaken, isn't this the first time Rodgers has been a double-digit underdog in his career?
I do not know that to be true or false.
I think I heard that this week, but that's a secondary quote, so don't quote me on that.
Fair enough, but even if it's not, it's a right spread here, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to turn it around. They're certainly not going to turn around against Buffalo, but even after Buffalo, I mean, there's so many question marks on this team right now. And from a fantasy perspective, I mean, outside of Aaron Jones, I'm not real sure who you can call a weekly starting option in this Packers offense anymore.
There isn't one.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, frankly, there isn't one. And Dan, I'll take it a step further, not necessarily outside of the fantasy realm. Are the Packers number four, the fourth team in that division?
If the Lions had never got as banged up as they are, it could be definitely discussed. I mean, Chicago, I mean, I know they beat the Patriots last night and have looked a little better of late, but I would definitely say Minnesota's the best team.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know the Bears lost to the Commanders 2 weeks ago at home.
That Thursday night game still scarring me as well. And then James will end with the trick or treat edition of Houdayville as the Bengals go to Cleveland. 3.5-point favorites, the road team in this AFC North battle. The total's at 47.5. And we know that this is a big rivalry, one that has been in, you know, mostly in the favor of Cleveland in recent years, let's be frank. And yep. Joe Burrow himself, not a very good record here versus the Browns. Obviously, last year when they went to Cleveland, the Bengals already had everything wrapped up, so they didn't really play everybody. So you can't use that instance. But James, this is a different Browns team. I mean, the defense isn't looking as good as it has been. There's lots of injuries there. I mean, Chubb is obviously talented, but outside of that, the offense each week gets even more predictable. And Joe Burrow is on fire right now, bro. I mean, watching the last six quarters of Bengal football is a lot like watching the January Bengal football. Like, they've been in shotgun almost every freaking play. I think they've had five plays not in shotgun. And all, yeah, on top of that, their defense through the has yet to allow a team to score a touchdown this season after halftime. So I like the Bengals here. I wish it wasn't the hook already, but I'm feeling like they're going the right direction. I can't say the same for the Browns from a fantasy perspective, though. Chubb's in, Cooper's in. I don't know about anybody else. I mean, especially with Njoku hurt now. So lots of question marks in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson will get here eventually, but it's going to be, I believe, too late for anything this season.
What color do you associate with Halloween?
Yes, the old orange and black theme, right?
Oh, baby, then the Bengals are going to roll on Halloween. No, but to be fair, the last matchup that mattered between these two teams, Baker was the quarterback, but the Browns came to Cincinnati and absolutely handed the Bengals, their keister. So yeah. The Bengals have something to answer for there. You got to think it is the Bengals, though. The one thing that worries you is Atlanta did run the ball at times against the Bengals. We know New Orleans did. So Chubb could be in a smash spot here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know that running is a good thing. But as the Bengals proved versus the Falcons, teams that can rely on the run's great unless you get up a couple scores. And then It gets a little bit more difficult to do. Let's wrap it up. We do it every week this way, and we invite you to do it too. Come play on Thrive Fantasy with us. Enter for your chance to win $20,000 on Thrive Fantasy. Thrive's featured player prop contest for week 8 is just $25 to enter, $100,000 guaranteed, and $20,000 to first place. And almost every week, there's overlay, serious overlay up for grabs. So join James and I and so many others. Pick your 10 props and compete. Sign up and use your promo code FANTISTICS, and you can receive a 100% instant deposit bonus match up to $100. Visit ThriveFantasy.com today. And James, we both did pretty good last week. I mean, we pretty much nailed it, dude. I went 3-1. The only one I lost was my ice pick. I had Justin Herbert over the 282 and a half yards. He threw for 293. I had CD Lamb under the 6.5 receptions. He went for 4 receptions. I got the 95 points. I had Burrow over the 279 passing plus rushing yards. He actually had 501 total yards. I should have got double points because he almost doubled it. I lost my ice pick. Trevor Lawrence did not throw a pick. You lost out barely on your Tyreek Hill over of 81.5 receiving yards. He went for 72. You did get your George Kittle touchdown for 120 points. You did not get Russell Wilson because he didn't play. So we went to your ice pick of Davante Adams over 89.5 yards, which you also picked correctly, 95 receiving yards. So you went 2-1 on the week. I went 3-1. I am now 15-12 to your 12-15. I've got a little bit about 200-point lead on you, 1155 to 940. So I'm taking it. You've looked at this week's action here, and I actually get the first pick, I believe. So let me actually pull it up here because my computer's freezing up on me. There we go. Lots of things open, and this week's an interesting one, James. I will preface this and say that there weren't as many just popping out to me as the last couple weeks. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but I will say that with my first pick, I'm going to play it a little safe here because I just think this number is entirely too high. Cooper Kupp, 9.5 catches. That just seems so high. I mean, I get it, and I'm not going to get as many points as I like, but it's still 85 points. So I'm going to go Cooper Kupp under the 9.5 catches for the 85 points.
I'll certainly play that. And yeah, the one I just missed, I'm in cash. I could have had a decent cash if I'd hit on that one as well. But that's okay. I'm with you. Cooper Kupp, that really feels like it should be like a 140 to 60 or 150.
I know. It was just the 85 points was just enough for me to say, I'm going with it, dude.
I wasn't going to make it my first one because of the points, but I'm with you. I like it. I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm going to go with a less than here as well. I'm going to go with the Dak Prescott passing yards. The total is 257.5. And I'm going to go under. I get plus money on that at 105 or plus points, 105. And here's the deal. We saw Chicago. What do, man? They run the football. They kill the clock. And to an extent, the Cowboys do that a little bit too. So I expect fewer plays in this game. And I expect a nursing Dak still in a lower scoring game in my expectation. This seems like a pretty easy grab. 257, not a huge number, but I still say he's under.
Yeah. And I mean, overall, like, what's your outlook on him the rest of the season, you think?
Gets healthier. That team doesn't need him to drive the bus right now.
I know. That's what I'm wondering. Is like, I mean, the ceiling I liked with Dak in the early part of the season. It's like, gosh, with everything else going on this team, I don't know if they need him to lean on him that much.
Get to the playoff push for the Cowboys in the playoff time for fantasy, and yeah. I think he'll be ready to turn it on.
Yeah, I hope you're right because I've got some shares. There's leagues, most of them I'm done in. There is one league in particular where it's like, all right, I still got Dak here. Let's see if I can make this work. James, I'm going to go to a different side of things here and switch it over to a running back and one that I certainly have been wanting to get back into action myself, and that's Jonathan Taylor. You know, here's a guy that, I mean, we all had him as RB1. This matchup versus Washington's not that intimidating to me. I don't love the 83.5 yards here, but I do feel like with a more mobile quarterback, some things shaking up here. I've got him projected in the low 80s anyway. So for the point value here, to contradict my first point, I'm going to go over on the 83.5 rushing yards on Jonathan Taylor versus the Commanders for that 120-point grab.
All right. I can get behind that as a play. And I'm with you on some of these plays. I'm not finding the excessive point totals that I really want to love and grab onto. So I'm just going to go with an even money one here. Las Vegas defensively has not been great so far. Alvin Kamara is what gets it done for the Saints. And I know that Dalton had four passing touchdowns, but I still like 66.5 total rushing yards. Give me the over from Alvin Kamara. I think he gets to that number.
I hope he does. I need him. I need him a lot, especially in my KFFC, which is about to crack the top 100 now and sitting in playoff money. You know, we've been picking on the Packers, and, you know, I don't feel bad about it. I definitely think that they're up, what do they call it, the creek without a paddle this week.
They are?
Yeah, I do. And Aaron Rodgers, 241.5 passing yards. I get it. It could be a shootout. They might need him. I don't think the Bills D are going to give him that, dude. I'm going under here. Under on Aaron Rodgers. It's only 90 points, but I think he has a tough time breaking, you know, getting to 240. That's for sure.
I'm kind of with you there too, and I was looking at that one. I'm going to go to Justin Jefferson. His total is 85.5 total receiving yards. Coming out of the bye, we saw that they force-fed him the ball going into it, and so I expect more of that. He's the player that makes this offense go. 85.5 total yards. It's not as easy to get as you think for, even for a first-round selection in fantasy, but I'll take the over for 100 points.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson on the over is not a bad way to play, although it's can probably not come up as much as you think this year.
Exactly. It's not as easy as you think, but I still like it in this one.
Yeah. James, I'm going to go up to, gosh, I had two or three, and I'm sort of torn, and it's just my ice pick, so I'm just going to go with it anyway. But again, just because of what we talked about earlier, I'm going to go to the Tyreek Hill touchdown over for 100 points as my ice pick.
I think he's going to have a nice day. I agree with you there.
And your ice pick, my friend.
For my ice pick, I think I really want to go the Jared Goff no interception because Miami's pass D not great, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go DeAndre Hopkins over 6.5 total receptions. He was immediately thrust into the alpha dog role, got a 10-catch day in his first game back on Thursday night, so clearly healthy, ready for the role. Let's give him 7 or more, over 6.5, gets me 105.
All right, so there you have it. You got our prop picks, you got our waiver wire recommendations, and a lot of other stuff in between. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen, including Apple, Spotify, and Google Play. You can find it anytime, along with all of our tools to win at insiderfootball.com. Be sure to tune in Saturday morning, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, James and I on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, with Fantastics Insider Football. Until next time around, for James Adams, I'm Dan Klaskins. Good luck and enjoy the games. We'll see you next week right here on the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast.